And you're very welcome back to Soccer Card United. It's episode 175 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. Two in 1 week. I'm Jason, that's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hello, Jason. It's been a while since we did two in a week.
Imagine. Well, we're getting back to business as usual here because the domestic club seasons are beginning this weekend in most countries.
They're returning.
The top five leagues, I believe, at least two of them are returning. So that's exciting. The Women's World Cup is reaching its zenith, which we'll talk about as well.
Oh, yeah.
But first, big announcement. Big announcement in terms of a Dublin trade night.
Oh, the second edition.
Yeah. On August 19th, we are going to be back at the Camden Court Hotel.
9 days' time.
9 days' time. And we're going to be host from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.,
okay.
The Dublin Trade Night 2. So, tickets are now available.
Very much so.
Free to reserve a ticket.
Free to reserve, free to come along.
If you do get a ticket, please do come along.
Yeah, and if you get a ticket and you decide you're not coming along, tell us. Because last time we sold out, turned a lot of people away, and then got a lot of messages on the day, I can't make it.
So, no matter how late you can't go,
tell us.
Tell us, because we can always put up another...
A bit of etiquette.
Yeah, and there were people who couldn't go and told us
last time. Absolutely, it was great.
So yeah, so that's happening on the 19th of August in Dublin.
What you can expect? We a ticket just went down, Jason, live and direct. Someone just live on air.
Someone can hear us.
Two tickets.
Wow.
I won't give a name away, but two tickets.
That's good.
Yeah. What to expect on the night? Right, and it's daytime. Right, it's not nighttime. It's 10 to 4. We are going to have some food, some pastries and refreshments. Tea, coffee, pastries, right? Free.
Yeah.
Because we the boys, we gang, right?
Uh-huh.
PSA and SGC submissions for those that want to participate.
We're going to bring that back. This was something that was extremely popular. The last time you were set up at a table.
Oh, yeah.
For PSA and SGC submissions, there was a lovely little sign. You had the laptop doing the whole lot. And how was that experience for you as the person who was submitting them?
It was good. There was a mixed bag. So in some cases, I was asking some people, like, is this for your personal collection? If it's not, because if it's for personal collection, I'll just grade it, of course. But if it's not, I would kind of give them advice. Mm. Maybe don't do this one, you know, maybe reduce it. These grading fees add up very fast. I was trying to, you know, scan my eye over it because I would consider myself, Jason, to date, to be a very successful grader. I have a good eye for it.
Okay, good.
Right? I've done decent. My record's decent. So I like to help people look over it. I'm not a professional, blah, blah, blah. But it was good. But the only negative is that it kind of kept me at that table.
So you couldn't really float around.
I want to be floating around. So this time around, see, I don't know what to do. I think this time around, I might leave someone else at the table and I can kind of be brought in.
Yeah. If you need to come over and put your jewelers
in. Yeah, because I think, as I understand, like a pre-grading service kind of a thing.
Yeah. But let's face it, you're no Aaron.
I'm no Ludkins back in the day. Like, I don't really want to offer a pre-grading. I don't want to be saying this will get an 8 or a 9. Like, I'm happy to help people if they want advice, but in general, it's a lot easier if you just take their cards, grade them. But at the same time, if you're new to grading, you look at a card, you think it's perfect, you send it to someone, it gets a PSA 6 because there's a huge surface flaw that you didn't pay attention to.
Yeah.
You might look at me and say, did Soccer Cards United handle my card bad? Did they ship it bad? And I feel like there's a lot of potential negatives to be doing a submission, especially with a brand as squeaky clean as ours, Jason.
Certainly.
So that kind of gives me fear. But then on the other side, I know that the demand is there. People really do appreciate it. It's hilarious to say everyone just got their PSA submissions back after the last trade night.
Mm.
And here we are doing the next one. But at the same time, it's kind of motivating me to submit cards that I want to submit as well. So it's a bit of fun. It helps people in Ireland submit cards a bit faster than they would if they did it solo. Removes the hassle for them.
I'll be submitting my Carlos Alcaraz rookie cards.
There you go, Jason.
These will both be going... the PSA.
Some of your personal cards.
Yeah. It's very exciting for me.
So that's it. I'm going to look through a few things. I'm tempted, Jason. What do you think of my 1-of-1 Olivier Giroud? Do you think I should get it authentic?
It's a super factor, yeah?
Yeah, super factor from Finest Flashback.
I like to see a super factor in a slab.
Yeah, I keep getting scared I'm going to damage it. And I don't want to grade, like, the centering's off, so I don't really want to see a 9 or an 8.
Yeah.
I'd rather just say authentic, I think. But I don't know. I've never graded a PC, one of, like a PC that I didn't think would get a 10 kind of a thing.
Mm.
Or like a low grade. It's one that I think a 1 of 1 would annoy me if it said PSA 8 or PSA 9.
But if it's for the PC,
if it says authentic, it's just in it. Like, I don't, but I also don't know. I thought it's a bit weird.
Yeah. Well, all that and more.
All that and more. So that's going to be happening. We're going to have Wax Day, of course. Anyone can come, set up cards, set up Wax, sell whatever they want to sell, trade whatever they want to sell. And yeah, that's just the second edition. It's a quick turnaround time because we have been on an absolute show circuit the last few weeks and weeks upcoming.
So we basically, the options were do it now.
Or do it end of September.
Or do it end of September. And that's just like, that's too far away. We're getting too many questions about it. Let's just do it now.
We'll just do it now. People. So sorry to anyone that we gave too short notice to and they can't come, because there are a few people that are like, I can't do that weekend.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, oh, nothing's been announced. That weekend is coming up. They're definitely not going to do it then, you know? Mm. And then we just say, actually, here in a few days, we're doing it. But yeah, such is the demand of the Irish hobby at the moment. Such is the demand of the people that went to our first trade night that we are confident we would do well. And as it stands, I think 25% of tickets are gone, and we just put it up last night.
Wow.
And we have yet to give it a social media push. So
it was in our Irish Facebook group.
Yeah, just Irish Facebook group, not on Instagram, not on Twitter, and now officially on the podcast. It was at the very end of the last one though, because we had just locked it in live on air. Classic Soccer Heads United. This is too much for the start of the show, Jason.
Okay, so basically 6 minutes in, all that to say, 19th of August, Camden Court Hotel. If you're in Ireland, or if you fancy a trip to Dublin,
a whistle stop tour
from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. we will be in the Camden Court Hotel for our second edition of the Dublin Trade Night, which is on during the day. Okay, now all that said, let's move on to Hobby HQ.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about the London Card Show, but first I'd like to talk about Sapphire, UCC Sapphire.
Okay.
Because while we've been away from the podcast, there have been a number of different releases have come out, some of which we may have talked about before we left, you know, when they were announced, maybe checklists came out and stuff like that. But the main one that came out was Sapphire, which came out last week or Monday, or when was it?
It literally dropped Wednesday. Did it drop yesterday? No, drop Monday. Sorry, Monday.
So I'm just going to share my screen here. We're going to go to the old Cardboard Connection article. You can see the design, and so you were commenting that the design looks very good.
I love when the boxes look different year to year.
Yes, that's a nice little...
Gets me giddy.
You can see there's 21, 22, and there's 22, 23. So there's your immediate
difference. The red.
Difference. The red really makes it pop, I think, compared to the grey, silver design.
I would have to agree.
Okay, so UEFA Sapphire marks the fourth year of the online exclusive product. Formerly a UEFA Champions League set, it now includes the Europa League and the Europa Conference League as well. Instead of the standard online sale, the exclusive tops.com release arrived via equal raffle. Okay, so this is the first instance of an equal raffle on the Tops US site.
Oh,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they're very interesting.
So obviously it's been deemed as a
success.
Mm-hmm. Box prices have dropped slightly, coming in at $225. The boxes were $250 last year.
Mm.
So we've seen, I believe, the print run stay the same.
Yep.
And the price dropped by $25.
Yes.
So that is, I would say, a positive move.
100%.
200 card base set, the same as Topps Chrome. And here are some, like the likes of Alvaro Rodriguez and Rafa Leão. You have your yellow, green, orange, purple, red, and Pat Parasha. So the highest number parallel is 99.
Okay, good.
That's good. You also have the image variation, which is 1 in 8 packs. So you get one image variation per box. And they match the base parallel rainbow, but come with much tougher odds. So say for green, which is numbered to 70, base parallel green, you get 1 in 15 packs. But image variation green, you get 1 in 300 packs.
Wow.
Because obviously it's a one per box, and then it's the parallels. So that's quite exciting. But we haven't even gotten into the big news. Because
got some case hits.
We got some case hits. We got some Falling Every Fifth Box Sapphire Selection.
So two per case.
Two per case. Wonder Kids, which we saw come over from Chrome.
Yeah.
Two of those per box. And then we have Sapphire Selection Autographs. Wow. For the first time, fans even have a shot at signed cards thanks to Sapphire Selection's autograph, numbered 1 in 687 packs. These rare autographs also come as serial numbered gold refractors, red refractors, and super fractors. Wow. Autographs and Sapphire.
When they say super factors, do they mean Pat Parasha? They must. Surely.
They must.
Surely.
I'm also confused because it says that Sapphire Selection Autographs are 1 in 687 packs, but the Gold or Fractor Sapphire Selection Autographs are 1 in 682 packs.
Bad match.
So you need 500, you need 5 fewer packs to hit a Gold or Fractor Sapphire Selection Autograph than a base.
No, that can't be right. Introduction of autographs into Sapphire is very good.
Very exciting.
Now, it's a very super short print to get one, so that's not great, but it also is great because it's a very much a big chase.
I would say I like that they've brought it in, but I think I like that it's so rare.
You like it?
I do, because I just think like...
I wish it was one per case.
I tell you what my concern is. I have a feeling that as we get more and more products and we go further and further down the soccer road, the problem is becoming differentiation of products.
Mm.
And I don't want Sapphire to just be, you know...
Different stock chrome.
We need different stuff. So the idea of a super short print
auto
is at least like, oh, that's the one where it's... Because when you see a... I want, like, you see a Sapphire auto and you go like, whoa.
Yeah, I agree with that. Fair.
And because we were at like the London Cartridge, which we're going to talk about later, and we had like all our autos laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd kind of want, like, if there was a Sapphire auto there, you kind of want, like, oh, holy shit, I haven't seen one of those before, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Like our Jude Bellingham.
Mm.
Bundesliga Sapphire autograph. Pop one.
Pop one.
So maybe a bit of that.
You just can't find them.
No, you can.
But the autograph checklist is super strong. You have Messi, Foden, Garnacho, Matteo Sule for Juventus, Pedri, Haaland, Musiala, Mudrik, Bellingham, and Gonzalo Ramos, who just signed for PSG from Benfica.
That is a quality checklist.
So if you hit an auto, and assuming you don't hit Matteo Sule of Juventus.
Sorry, Sule.
Sorry, no disrespect to him. You're doing very, very well.
Yeah, I like that. That's why it's more fun if it's super short print. You're right, Jason.
So the boxes are on eBay, as you can imagine. I'm not sure where the prices are right now. I'm just going to have a little look.
Have a gander.
I see some up there for $300. So they came out at $225, we said. There's $290, $280. 1, 2, 3, 4 sales confirmed. But the price seems to be holding strong, well above retail. Which is nice.
A fun set.
Yeah, it is a fun set.
I don't see any Sapphire Selection on eBay. Let me see if there's...
No, there's only a few, I believe, UK breakers that went to market with them.
Okay.
So all of the early images, I think, were coming from...
From there.
One or two people. So we only saw a very limited number of stuff. Just trying to figure out if there's more on ebay.co.uk, because as I say, there was stuff being pulled in the UK. There's a Wonder Kids Garnacho. There's a nice Maldini. Let's have a look at this.
That's from the year before.
Is it?
Yeah. What's this,
22-23?
Yeah. Well, they lied.
They've lied.
Come on, I know that was Sapphire Maldini. That was the legend image variation.
So what's this then? This is the one.
Yes. The border, that's what caused controversy.
Yeah. The border.
I don't hate it.
You don't hate it?
I don't hate it, but only because it differentiates it from each year of Sapphire, but it does look a little bit too similar to Chrome.
It's kind of like...
cracked ice Chrome.
Yeah, barely Sapphire.
Yeah.
Just about is the feeling.
Like, if you look back at that Maldini, maybe you still have it
open. Yeah, so let's have a look at the Maldini.
I think...
And compare it to the Modric.
Had the border, did it?
Had the border, but it was... The border was also Sapphire.
Yeah.
Whereas here you have a Chrome border...
With a Sapphire interior.
Yeah.
Obviously, they tried something new. I don't hate it, but it's. I understand why people are like, oh, it looks like cracked ice. But like, people love cracked ice, so what's
possible? Mm. But yeah, I do see the interior and exterior both being Sapphire makes it pop a lot more.
I agree with that.
The
border frames it a lot more though, in the non-Sapphire border.
True.
For me, it's like it's different. I don't hate it. Like, if this year is distinguishable because of that, when we're 3 years deep,
yeah,
I kind of like it.
It's again, it's like you want there to be different stuff year on year.
You're allowed to have a preference. Like, you're allowed to say, I prefer last year, and you can collect that. You know, you don't need to,
yes,
you know, you don't have to, oh, I hate this one this year, and your whole week is ruined. Like, I like it, especially when you look at Sapphire Selection. That's what people are saying. Like, Sapphire Selection removes the borders, and people think they look great,
yeah,
but maybe they were going for that. They wanted. the short print one to look the best.
Hmm.
Do you know?
Yeah, I think generally, like, you know, we're gonna need, as we said, we're gonna need differentiation year on year. We're gonna need some years that are off for some products. Not, and obviously you don't deliberately design the products to look bad. That's not what I'm saying. But like, in terms of, you don't want the manufacturers just printing the same products over and over again, because then it all just looks.
Yeah, you're obviously limited in what you're doing. If you were tasked to design this year's Sapphire set, you're very limited. And like, deciding to non-Sapphire the borders was obviously a very purposeful decision.
You don't come to that lightly.
By mistake. And I don't hate it, because it does need to be different. It does need to look different. And that's what it does. So I'm into it.
Yeah.
I think in hand, they probably will look really good as well.
True. You never know how much... yeah, there's... Look.
But like, in fairness, that doesn't look very Sapphire-y.
Yeah. So that's Soccer Cards HQ with a picture from TFF Breaks. And that orange border, if you didn't know that was Sapphire...
You wouldn't know
it was Sapphire.
But that's like in a photo.
Yes, exactly. That's amazing. In a photo. And obviously the whole thing about Sapphire is that it's a refractor type card. So yeah, like, it, depending on how the light is going to hit it, you know.
But I think like for break, and I think it must be fun to kind of pull the card a bit and you'll see the border first and it'll be a very distinguished color.
Mm.
And you'll kind of know. But I don't know, man.
Yeah. To each their own on that one, I would say.
Yeah.
So other stuff kind of came out and was in hand and all that, but we're going to just move on, I think, to our weekend, which we said we'd talk about, at the London Card Show.
Yes, so fresh off arriving into Dublin Wednesday after the National in Chicago, we had to pack our bags again on Friday, quick turnaround Thursday, pack our bags on Friday, and fly jet off to London.
Yes, me, indeed.
Jason and a dear friend of ours, Faye.
Yeah, Faye, the main man.
The main man.
Keeps the whole operation running.
Keeps us, wakes us up on time.
Yeah.
Keeps an eye on the wax, sells the wax. He's the guy. Leave that bag, Jason. Stop letting this bag fall everywhere.
There's a bag. I keep
leave it on the floor.
All right.
Meant to be a professional.
So, is that not good practice to have a bang every 30 seconds?
No.
So, we went to London. It was very good fun. We had three tables.
First time having three tables at a London show. We had one in Hamburg.
Yeah, we had three tables in Hamburg. So we had Tops were here, then it was us, then there was a corner, then eBay were here. So we were in a kind of on the corner between Tops and eBay. And that was a good spot.
There was a door that was out to the food.
Yeah.
Which kind of just let, we were kind of getting a lot of good foot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
When it started raining, people weren't outside anymore, so that kind of hampered the outside foot traffic. But it was a very busy show, very good show. First time having three tables and three people manning the tables, and it was necessary.
Yes, absolutely.
First time being able, like in Hamburg, we did two tables of wax, one of cards.
Yep.
This one we did two full tables of cards and one of wax, and it was great because we have so many cards that being able to lay them all out and let, because like people that are walking by, a lot of people aren't going to tell you what they're looking for.
Yep.
And you could have it. A lot of times people have cards in the back at a show that they're like, I don't have the real estate on the table to put it out. But like you walking by, Jason, there could be the most beautiful Atletico Madrid card in someone's like bag.
Yeah, and you know they're thinking like, we kind of said this when we were talking about the national dealers, you see it a lot. Where it's like, especially with something like soccer, where they're like, hardly anyone has soccer here. So if I have a soccer table, I'm going to just put it, you know, put the top players on it. Same if you're in London. Yes. If you someone say, I'm going to put out the Premier League teams
because
I'm in London, so if I have a nice Bundesliga card or a nice La Liga card or whatever, that's going to stay in the back. But we had the opportunity to do a display case, then loads of singles, like a table and a half of
singles. Like someone asked us for a Dybala card and we have a Tiger print at home, and I was like, I didn't think to bring it to London, but like we had the real estate to have it out there.
Someone came up and said, wearing a Nottingham Forest cap, and said, you got any Nottingham Forest cards? And he said, he was talking to me, he said, that was like a vending machine, because I literally just went like,
that was unbelievable.
It's like, and so it's like, most people don't have the space on their table to have
that. It's nothing worse when someone goes, oh, I'm Nottingham Forest, and you go, oh, I definitely have it, and you're digging through piles of cards, you can't find them. No.
So, we had a really good, weekend, and thank you to everyone who stopped by the table.
100%. Thanks for everyone that chatted to us, made a deal with us.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
And at this stage, you know, going to the London Car Show, we've been to so many of them, it's such a social event as well, because you see the same faces there all the time. And,
100%.
And so it's been really good.
We were very tired.
We were very tired, absolutely.
Like, I'm still recovering a little bit. And yeah. This weekend, for those of you that don't know, we are setting up another table, because we can't get enough. We're setting up a table both days, Saturday and Sunday, at Dublin Comic Con.
Mm.
We don't know what to expect at that. It's a totally different type of event.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of Star Wars, we have some Pokemon, we have a lot of sports, of course. We're going to have a bit of fun at that one, Jason, but that's where how we're spending this weekend. So this weekend we have Dublin Comic Con. If anyone is around, I'm pretty sure tickets are sold out. Some might get put up for the public again, but if you happen to be going to that,
yeah, if you're going to that, come and say hello to us, because chances are if somebody's attending Dublin Comic Con, it's not their first, or they're, you know, they know the ropes.
Help us.
So come along and say hello, and or tell some of your friends. I know these guys, they do trading cards.
Can I actually say, Jason?
Yeah.
Two or three people messaged us, and I might, in some cases, might be the same person on multiple platforms, but a couple of people have messaged us saying that they're in Dublin for this weekend coming.
Yes.
They wanted to buy us drinks tomorrow.
Sorry to those people, we haven't responded.
Yes.
What about them?
I was just saying, I hope they're listening, I hope they understand.
Oh, they understand how busy we've been. Yeah.
We had the London Card Show, and now we're in deep, like Friday, we're preparing for.
Yes, by the time that those people hear this, they will have already had a response.
Yes.
So that'll be good. Good to remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, so a few things of the London Card Show that viewers will be able to see, because we post them on social media, but listeners, we're going to describe them. Really interesting thing happened. So a gentleman came up and bought a museum. Tops Museum, brand new Tops Museum box off us. And a few minutes later, so Faye did the deal, because Faye was manning the wax table.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes later, the guy comes back up to Faye and says, look what I pulled. And it's the one of one Ronaldo, R9. And what a pull it was. So the one of one Ronaldo is off the board of the museum, because it came from a Soccer Cards United box.
Let's go.
Very exciting. We were like, oh my God.
Look at it.
Look at this card. How lucky can you... That's the Emerald, I think, is the 101.
Yeah, straight into a mag as well. Look at him.
Yeah. So, then the guy that bought it gets a bit giddy.
Mm.
And starts to think, ooh.
It's his weekend.
Maybe it's my day. Maybe I have it.
The magic hands.
And he goes, well, I'm definitely way up on the box.
Mm.
So now I've got a bit of...
Bit of leeway. Oh my God.
And dips back in again with Faye. And says, Faye, what else have you got for me?
What you got for me? And Faye,
yeah,
sat there and he had an answer.
He goes, why don't you try Inception? You've already kind of maxed out Museum.
Yeah, be careful.
Why don't you try Inception?
Okay.
The guy dips back in.
Goes for Inception.
And I want to say I was very, like, excited when I saw this, but I was cursing a lot when this happened.
Because this doesn't happen.
Yeah. You can see that the tweet I tweeted was, oh, for fuck's sake, he's got another one now. He came back and bought an Inception box, and he got a 101 Kaká.
Autograph. In a Malanka.
What's that about?
I had someone very serious about buying that card, but we never got the guy's details.
Oh. Well, maybe he's a listener.
You never know. But yeah, unbelievable. Oh, but like, sickening. Like, the odds of hitting two 101s, because we had a lot of boxes on the table of each product. The odds of hitting two 101s back to back was...
The odds of hitting any 101.
No, I know.
It was just...
Not good.
Incredible.
Not good at all.
That
wasn't even the last 101 hit of the day out of our boxes.
No, because...
And this happened in Edinburgh. There was a lot of 101s, and I'm not happy. Because when we open, there's no 101.
This one, Karchewi.
It was only a small card. Like, it wasn't, you know...
From Knockout, PSG Women's. Another 101.
Congratulations. I felt bad. There was one collector who had bought so many of those boxes off us.
Yeah.
She'd buy a box, open it, hit fire, come to us, trade the cards for another box. And that happened, like, 7 times. That's one of the only boxes she didn't pick up, and I had a 101.
And also in the reply to this tweet, Greg says, appreciate you guys. You saw my brother his first ever hobby box today. It's a slippery slope from here. What a pleasure that is.
Let's go.
To be getting people into the hobby.
Getting them their first wax. That happened at the last Dublin Trade Night as well, Jason.
Wow.
Some people's first box. That's an important moment, I think.
I think it's an important moment in any young hobby person's life. And it's a pleasure to be part of it. I feel like a car salesman selling someone their first car, you know?
It's a reliable car, but you need to keep an eye on it.
It's a good starter. It'll get you from A to B.
in a couple of years you'll be done with it, but yeah, it will have done you well.
Yeah, you're about to find out the meaning of the word freedom, kind of thing, you know, when you buy a hobby box from Soccer Card Tonight. Tell us about this card, Enzo. This Erling Haaland Obsidian Color Blast.
Oh my god. Very hard card to price because it's the brand new product. That's never when you want to pick up a card.
Yeah.
However, the gentleman, we've done deals with him in the past, came up to us with this card and he wanted wax. So if you're trading me a card that has kind of a high value but you just want wax, us as a shop with a lot of wax, there's leeway there, especially if you're not just buying the hard hitting wax, right? If you're just saying, hey, I want all the museum for this, I'm saying, hey, I got a limited amount of museum.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell it at this show.
But if you're mixing up some retail products, some hobby products, all that stuff.
Give me a few team sets. Give me a few e-com. Give me a few, you know, give me some first edition or chrome or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're cooking. Yeah. So we got a deal done for this.
Very nice.
Still don't know what the price is. I actually had put one on my watch list that I'm going to now check because there was one at auction. And I'm very intrigued. Right now, there's 3 days left on it. Uh-huh. We started at 99 cents. What do you think it's at, Jason? No, 3 days left. I mean, we're so far off.
3 days left. Start at 99 cents. Where is it?
500.
No. Where is it located?
Oh, sorry.
Well, now I already know how
much. USA. €577.
Okay, so that's good.
It's good. Very good sight. Sorry, I kind of hesitated. I kind of thought he's not asking me for the price. But then I was like, maybe he doesn't want to guess. There's not like, if it was a few seconds left, it'd be a better guess, right? A few days out could literally be anything.
Who knows?
But yeah, the Color Blast in his Dortmund kit, especially the black Color Blast, they don't do as well.
Yeah.
As the white Color Blast. There is one white Color Blast in a City kit, which does a lot, but it's more short print, I believe. We don't know how short print this specific...
Because Obsidian is brand new.
Obsidian is brand new. I've seen a few of them out there.
Okay.
The lowest bin, aka buy now, on one is €1,300.
Okay.
So there you go. I think just City kit. It's a treble winning kit.
Yeah.
I think just iconicness to it.
Cool pose.
Arguably his best pose out of all of his color blasts. He has four now. Three are black. Two black in Dortmund. This one as well. And then there's the white one, which is super short print. You can't really find that one.
Okay. So that was another pickup. Then this was a deal that we did with Gus from Grails by Gus at Trade Night. So we weren't thinking about going to Trade Night. And then we had dinner and we felt like, okay, you know, let's go to Trade Night. And it turned out to be well worth it, because I was sitting with Gus and we were talking about women's cards, and I said, he's a Chelsea fan, and I said, she got this great Sam Kerr of 25 in America. And he goes, let me have a look. She goes, oh. Then it saw the Foden. Wow, I didn't know you had that color match. Phil Foden rated rookie. And we ended up, I said, oh, Enzo, get over here. Sit down there and talk to this man.
I put an ensemble together.
And about 45 minutes later, we came out with this.
We got a deal done.
So, obviously, listeners can't see this. So, on our side of the deal, in terms of what we gave away, 2018-19, Donruss Optic rated rookie, Phil Foden, CSG 10, gem mint in a CSG slab, a color match, aqua, right?
Mm-hmm.
A Sam Kerr 21-22 Tops Women's Chrome Gold Machines Insert Orange Wave Refractor to 25 PSA 10. Gold Lena Oberdorf Tops Chrome Refractor in a PSA 9.
Okay.
And £10.
£10. That's sealed
£10
the deal
sterling
at the very end.
So that's what? So that's about, that's like €11?
Yeah, about $13 maybe.
About $13. So now everyone is, you know,
clued in.
Yeah, the Canadians and the Australians can do their own conversions.
Yeah, they've been doing it for years.
So that's what we gave away. What we got was a 2016 Lionel Messi Donruss Accomplishments Press Proof Die Cut in a PSA 10.
Unbelievable card to get a 10, by the way.
Lovely card.
Leo Messi.
A
club history.
Huh?
You talk about the middle card?
Yeah.
Yeah, an impeccable Phil Foden club history.
On-card
autograph.
From Manchester City. And then a...
Raw, by the way.
Raw. And then a different Phil Foden rated rookie. The Green Velocity Optic.
Yes.
In a PSA 10. So, it all kind of worked out.
I was very happy to still own a rated rookie Phil Foden.
Yeah.
To inherit a really cool Messi.
Mm-hmm.
To inherit a Phil Foden on-card autograph, which we also have a Canvas Creations we need to redeem, which is also on-card. And I suppose happy to move from the CSG 10 to a PSA 10. I think that's where the deal makes or break. A lot of people, as we'll get into, we asked them to vote on the deal. A lot of people said we made out well.
Yeah.
I think if you cross that, that's the big thing. If you can cross the Phil Foden.
It comes down to who wants to take the risk on crossing the Phil Foden.
Yeah.
The poll on Twitter had 45 votes. 95% of people said they would have taken our side of the deal, meaning they would have done what we did.
And we did it.
I actually think it's a bit closer than that.
100%. I agree with that. I think people weren't putting enough respect on the women's cards.
I think people basically look at those women's cards and some collectors just go, well, what's that? Nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
How much could that possibly be worth? And we'll tell you from being at shows.
Being out there.
A good amount.
Good amount. I think, the Phil Foden. I mean, if you cross over that Phil Foden, it's worth about 1.3, 1.5.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know what it's worth in a CSG slab because CSG are a respectable and reputable company, but you still need...
Who reportedly, when they first started grading sports cards, people said they have super high standards in their other grading enterprises.
I looked at it. I didn't think there was an issue with it in terms of potential crossing.
Yeah.
I think there is kind of this horrible thing in the hobby where it's like PSA or nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand how that came about and where that is, but it's also like a lot of people kind of disrespected the CSG 10.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I'm happy with the deal.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see how one-sided it is. And obviously, like, you look at a Phil Foden on card. I also think Phil Foden's an interesting player, you know, because he still really hasn't broken into the Man City team.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, in terms of...
Prospect, technically.
Yeah, like, he's not...
He's unbelievable. Everyone rates him, but he's still...
He's not Bernardo Silva in terms of...
He's not Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah. It's interesting.
He's still young.
Yeah. What age is he?
22 or 3, I'd say.
Wow, he's just been around since he was 15 or something.
Yeah, 100%.
23?
Yeah.
So he's same age as Mbappe or just a year younger.
Thereabouts.
Yeah.
But it's also, for me, I think people also, if you're really paying attention to that set, there is a lot of respect and love given to that colour match.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's not fully captured in the photo, I don't think.
No, but that colour, that is the kind of Foden, in terms of purely aesthetic appeal.
Yeah.
That's the one you want.
Like the green laser, the green velocity looks great, but it also looks a bit messy. Not messy, but you know what I mean. It's not the same.
Oh, if in
hand, the aesthetics are so different.
Yes, if that's crossed over to a PSA 10, I think that 95% vote goes down to maybe like a 75% vote.
Hmm.
You know. Anyway, just great to get a deal done. And I was going to say, obviously we've seen Gus at shows forever. We saw him in Paris and all the London shows. And one thing I was having a chat with people about was how what we're seeing now in the hobby in this part of the world is what I guess American collectors have had forever, which is like when you know somebody a good while and you've done 5 or 6 deals with them over the course of that time, it becomes less
single transactional.
Yeah, it's like about the relationship and it's more like, not that you're giving stuff away or you know, but it's like, okay, maybe I'm a little bit down on this deal or I'm a little bit up on this deal, but I'm probably going to get it back, or you know what I mean? Like it's nice to be able to say, I think we're close.
It's an ongoing negotiation all the time.
Exactly. It's almost like you're chalking, it's like a league.
Yes.
You know, whereas if somebody just walks up to you, it's like an elimination game and you're like, I might never see you again. So 18 is not good enough, I need 20. You know what? But yeah, so that was a fun trade. Then we ended up getting the Robbie Keane. So I'm going to show people that just in case they haven't seen it.
You have a photo. And you got that off the same guy.
Yeah. So
then he was up.
Then he was up. Because I was like, come on. I was like, come on, do me a little deal on this. And he goes, first of all, it's pop one, I think. So you're never going to see another one apart from mine. And secondly, he's like, you did well on the deal last night.
Yeah.
So, but that was this, which you really just don't see. 2016 Select, Gold Prism Die Cut, Robbie Keane, the PSA 7.
Pretty nice.
Maybe see that Gold Prism.
Hard to beat it.
2016 Select. Very nice. Also, we got the Ronaldo. Goal frame autograph.
Yep, traded someone for that. And a few other cards for a Charlotte Claire Dynasty we gave the other way.
Which we've had for a good while.
Yeah, we got a decent group of cards in the door to get that out.
Yeah.
Happy with the deal, although I was also very hesitant of that Ronaldo auto because I do think there's going to be a lot of them out there. So I wasn't sure, but the other cards really settled that deal for me, Jason. Mm.
Very good. So we had a great time in London. There we are. Look, my head's cut off, but there we are with our banner there from Matt that we got in Chicago. There we are drinking some Flight Mode Lager. So yeah, it was a lot of fun in London once again. I believe the next one is in November, and they're pushing further down the venue.
Mm,
so we're going to have potentially an even bigger London card show in November.
How could it get bigger?
How could it be any bigger than that?
General, your time at the London show, we were so busy this time around. There was no vlog. I mean, there was no vlog back-to-back in National or London, but
yeah.
We barely left the table. Three tables is a lot, especially in London.
Yeah.
Really, really fun. Good time. I only have one problem with the London card show.
Okay. Hot take.
Only one. And there's people out there with some problems. I have one problem.
Yeah.
The food outside, and this is not the complaint some people have. The food outside, and by the way, the workers there, incredible.
Yes.
We always get hot dogs or burgers.
Mm-hmm.
The bread of the burger.
Yeah.
Is powdery. Mm. It's floury. Sorry,
a floury bap.
It's a flour bap.
You talk and I'll get it on screen. Yeah, it's for delicious flour bap.
My issue is I always love it, but I always hate my fingers being all floury because, of course, I'm about to deal with some cards.
Yeah.
Give me a seeded bap or give me a plain bap.
And the thing about
for that bun,
a floury bap, right?
Because it's unbelievable.
Is you obviously you got to, you know, people say use a napkin. If I have a seeded bun, or even if I have like some sort of like, you know, maybe a slightly buttery brioche bun or something, and I use a napkin, that just comes right off.
Yeah.
But with flour, I would need a wet wipe or something.
Yeah.
Because it's chalky.
It's chalky.
It's chalky.
And it tastes delicious, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I need that. To be honest, I should just start ordering the hot dogs. But I do like my burgers.
Yeah.
And they do such a great job, but I can't. I don't like that. I don't flour on my hands.
That's for anyone that's watching the, here we go.
Oh, I can't
change tabs again.
Come on.
That's a floury bap. What do you like, a brioche bun?
I do. I can do seeded, no problem, but I don't mind just a classic brioche bun. Like, I'm good. Yeah. Come on, get rid of it.
That's a pretty good...
No, that's unbelievable. I love all of that. Everything I'm seeing on the screen, I love. Look,
yeah.
But that flurry stuff is not for me.
Yeah. I like seeded. I like everything except flurry. So, I mean, we're nitpicking.
Mm.
But that'll tell you how good the show is.
There you go.
That we're talking about... with the burger buns. Not even the burgers. The burgers are lovely.
The burger's unbelievable. And the cheese, everything's perfect.
It's the burger bun.
The bun is the only problem. I'll talk to the organizer. I'll see what I can do.
A couple of grams of flour.
Away from the best perfect show. Around. We have high standards.
So yeah. Right. So that's London. That's Sapphire. That's the trade night announced. I just want to quickly run through a couple of bits on the football side. Enzo, the US women's national team were obviously expected by FIFA and the broadcasters to be in the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup.
I don't think they've ever finished outside the top three.
Because
it's only been around for 30 years, maybe, the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
1970, I believe.
Yeah.
So Jason, that's 50 years, out of his comfort zone. I was thinking, yeah, I'm thinking it's the year 2000, Jason.
Yeah. That's a classic. That'll tell you the era that you were born in, that you think of the 70s as 30 years ago.
Hey.
It's 50 years ago. You're not as young as you used to be.
Oh my God.
Because the first quarterfinal is on at 2 a.m.
1991 was the first.
So that's 30 years.
Unbelievable.
That's very good.
I just had bad maths.
The problem was maths.
Yeah, just maths. Not my strong suit. I mean, it is, but...
It is.
No, it is. Very much so.
It very much is.
Very much is my strong suit. That's not my strong suit. Don't want to find my weakness.
Okay, so you're quarterfinalists for the Women's World Cup. Now, we haven't actually checked in on the podcast since we did our preview.
Our bracket.
And in our bracket, the winners were Spain.
They're still in it?
They're still in it.
Let's go!
So...
And our semi-finalists, or our runner-up were Ireland. How are they doing?
They did go out.
I'm on my fourth team now with this World Cup.
Yeah.
And they might get knocked out by France.
Ireland got knocked out. You said, well, Italy are still in it.
Yeah.
Then Italy got knocked out.
Tragically, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Italy knocked themselves out, seemed to be the consensus.
Which always happens. Then I was all Team USA.
Yeah.
They look like they were, like, what happened wasn't surprising. I think everyone was expecting it. It's just we also felt like they wouldn't do it. They were going to be all right.
Yeah.
But it very much was, they were on ice the whole way through.
Kind of like Real Madrid in the Champions League kind of thing, where you're like, well, I know they're not going to win it, but at the same time, they might.
Yeah, they might do it.
They
might grow into it.
Yeah.
But not going.
And now you're on Australia.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good.
Team Sam Kerr, you can't get a 1-1. I mean, I'm Australia and I'm Spain, you know. I'm fundamentally still Spain, but I'm going to wait until Australia got knocked out, then I'm Team Spain.
Okay.
Unless they get done in.
So that'll be in the semi-final. So you pick a new team in the semi-final.
Listen, you're Team Ireland and you scored a corner.
Yeah.
That's right. Look at how much I disrespected one of our finest athletes. Disgraceful. No, I'm not even proud of that.
Okay, your quarter-finalists. You have Spain versus the Netherlands. The Netherlands who beat South Africa 2-0, and Spain who beat Switzerland 5-1 in the round of 16. We saw the Netherlands very strong in the group stage, drew against America, and have a lot of heritage in this competition. So Spain, Netherlands, that to me has a draw written all over it, a normal time draw.
Do you reckon?
That's a tactical battle if ever I heard one. Then you have two of the best teams of the tournament, obviously the quarterfinals. Japan, who knocked Norway out 3-1 in the round of 16, and were kind of the team of the group stage.
Yeah, they were looking so good.
And Sweden, who beat the USA on penalties, who maybe rode their luck a little bit, but who have also been very good. That's a massive clash, Japan versus Sweden.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, I don't know really.
I think Japan.
I think Japan had the momentum going into the game.
But Japan smashed Spain.
Yeah.
And should Spain and Japan advance, they meet again.
So, setting up a massive...
Good match. It's a scare for Spain. No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
On the other side of the draw, you have Australia, the hosts, the co-hosts, versus France. France, who just knocked Morocco out with a 4-0 defeat, and Australia who beat Denmark 2-0. Denmark, who were not at the races in that game at all. France, free scoring, looking very good, maybe yet to be properly challenged, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Australia versus France, obviously massive game. And then England versus Colombia. Colombia, the dark horse. England, Colombia were the two teams that I said pre-tournament I don't wish anything good for.
Mm.
And here they are in the quarterfinals. One of them has to go out.
So that's a good for you. It's good and bad.
It's good and bad. I'm annoyed that Colombia have gotten this far.
Mm.
Led by Linda Caicedo, the wonderful youngster for Real Madrid. And England, I imagine, will take that victory. But they haven't been massively inspiring. Drew nil all with Nigeria. Who were the better team, should have had a penalty. It's been quite the tournament.
Yeah, I think it's about to really heat up.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
So,
for Sam Kerr to get a lot of hat-tricks. I want Sam Kerr to turn into Paolo Rossi now.
Well, she needs to start against France.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's how you become Paolo Rossi. You just pop up and start going crazy.
Yeah. So, we'll keep an eye on that.
I'm excited.
The final is on the 20th of August.
Ooh.
10 days' time.
The day after the Dublin trade night.
Wow. So the Dublin trade night, we're going to be talking, what do you think's going to happen in the World Cup?
Final. What do you think's going to happen? Tonight at like 4 in the morning or whatever it is.
We'll be there with our some of our women's cards.
And no doubt, one of our women's cards will be in the final. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Has to be.
No doubt.
No doubt about it.
So that's that.
Yeah, it's been a crazy month. I'm sure people can kind of tell. We had, I think, a two or three week period of no podcast.
Yeah.
And we've been to Chicago. We've been to London. We're doing a Comic-Con. We're doing a trade night. We're going to Frankfurt. We're going to Copenhagen. It's been wild, Jason.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have had breaks that long from the podcast before, but never breaks that long from the podcast that were filled with...
Us doing stuff.
Like all this kind of stuff.
It's insane.
All the domestic leagues are starting back up, as I mentioned at the start of the podcast. Just to remind people of some of the big transfers. that happened around Europe this summer. Jude Bellingham's at Real Madrid. Declan Rice is at Arsenal. Josko Guardiola is at Man City. Christopher Nkunku, who's at Chelsea, is injured for the next few months. Rasmus Højlund went to Manchester United. Apparently, according to Transfermarkt, his market value is 45 million. Manchester United paid 75 million. Sabo and McAllister are at Liverpool. Mason Mount's at Man United.
Has Lavia moved?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I believe the latest on the Romeo Lavia situation from Southampton to Liverpool is that Southampton won 50 million.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool have offered 46.
Come on.
Just pay the 50.
Pay the 50 or Liverpool.
Just pay the man.
Come on, pay him. Get him. Don't be doing that.
Go and get him.
Go and get him. If you want them, get him.
Mm.
Before, I think Chelsea were snooping around, but not anymore. They picked up a few players themselves.
Also from Southampton, James Ward-Prowse has gone to West Ham.
He's one. If he was Italian, you'd be absolutely so thrilled and relieved that he has finally moved.
Yeah,
I think you still are.
Yeah,
it took a relegation.
It took a relegation.
Just.
They got the 30 mil
for him. Unbelievable.
So that's all good.
Quality player. And West Ham have been doing some tidy business in the transfer window.
Yeah.
I think they got Harry Maguire. I believe that's confirmed.
They did, yeah, 30 million.
They got him and they got Edson Alvarez, I believe.
Mm.
That's a very strong
midfield
recruitment.
Because you could stick James Ward-Prowse in the midfield and say, can you just try and do what Declan Rice was doing? But if you put in Alvarez, then you give James Ward-Prowse, like, you got, like,
you've improved.
You can construct, yep. You know. I'm excited to see what David Moyes does.
David Moyes is doing a good job.
European champions, West Ham United.
Yeah, there you go.
I like Dakai Kamada from Frankfurt to Lazio. I feel like he'll be very well suited to Serie A, breaking down defences and picking passes and
Doing all sorts,
things like that. One star that shone very brightly in preseason has been Nicholas Jackson, who went from Villarreal to Chelsea. And it occurs to me, I don't actually know what his rookie cards are and if he has any.
I feel like he has.
Must have a mega cracks anyway.
A rookie ticket, maybe. Am I way off?
La Liga Select, Chronicles, rookie ticket.
There you go, look at that. Give me a bit of props.
Well done, Enzo.
Yes!
Ever consider hosting a soccer card podcast?
I've thought about it a few times. Before anyone says, I'm sure he has something from whatever year is prior to that year.
Mm.
Don't tell us. Don't tell me.
Don't burden me with knowledge.
There's a sticker and
There's no 22-23 Liga Este Mega Cracks.
What year is that? 22-23?
Yeah, same year as Select and all that. That's the rookie year.
I just hope 2021 Jackson. What was I hoping for?
2021 Jackson.
What am I doing?
That's not the way you do it.
But there you go. Rookie ticket.
Very exciting.
He's impressed you.
He's impressed me for Villarreal.
Oh, look at you. Showing your grey hairs.
And I don't know. He's playing up front for Chelsea. So we've seen this all go wrong so many times.
Fair.
We'll see.
Chelsea is a dangerous.
We'll see. Yeah.
The Premier League's dangerous. Not everyone comes and does it. Not everyone is Erling Haaland.
True.
Or Martin Odegaard.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone.
Okay, that's it.
That's us. For today.
We'll see everyone on
Monday. After a big weekend of Comic-Con. What a life we're living, Jason. Have you seen your family? When's the last time you've seen your family?
Not recently.
Okay, good.
Okay, we'll go to Comic-Con and we'll tell you all about it on Monday's podcast. In the meantime, have a great weekend.
Let's go. Yeah, everyone else, enjoy your weekend.
We'll be working like dogs.
Love it.